Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. This is Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with my running partner, Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, also the voice. Sometimes I feel like we should switch chairs when you come in here and let you lead it.
No, you're the man, Kraft.
No, you're awesome.
Let us not
I aim to be like Mick Mixon one day.
No, the Panther Pulse solar system is that we revolve around Crafty.
Oh, my. That takes a while.
Aptly put.
That takes a while. That's a long time. All right. Anyway, but Mick, thanks for joining us. Also, Dan the Man, La Taraka. And he is always two fingers on the pulse.
Two?
Twitter, Facebook, and all of those other social networks. He is the center of the social network universe. But anyway, when we talk about the Panthers, obviously, we're once again following up a heartbreaking loss. And I'm going to tell you, out of all the games that I've been at every one, but out of all the locker rooms that we had this year, I thought guys were emotionally just spent after this game. And my hope for them is that 48 hours removed from it, that they are able to start putting the pieces together and start looking forward. Because if anything came out of that game, guys, the Panthers are this close to putting it all together. I mean, we've seen it in weeks before, but I think more than any of the games, this one had more potential to turn out on a positive.
Yeah, well, it was a tough locker room, Mike. I'd compare it to Atlanta. That was a tough scene as well. And the thing those two games have in common, it's the best performances by the team in a losing effort all year, and especially given who they were playing against. I do think they will turn the page. They've done it before. I mean, resiliency, character, they still have the want to. It's got to be hard, though, when you're on this kind of streak. But, big picture, you're right. I mean, not many people thought that a last-second field goal would decide this game. That's not a lot of consolation when you're on the wrong end of it, but big picture it is.
Well, Mick, when you look at it and look at this game, and I know you analyzed it last night on the radio show, and you guys talked about some of the things down the stretch that cost this team. I mean, still, they come out on the short end, but did you get the sense this team is still moving forward inch by inch?
I think so, Crafty, but it's so weird. You feel like you're starting to run out of greeting card slogans and philosophies and things to put on this. Teams lose games like this. Every team, almost every team does. You lose a game like this once every year, twice a year, once every 2 years in the NFL, a game where you dominate the stats. Panthers have a 13-minute edge in time of possession. Panthers have a lovely 10 of 19 execution on third down against the fourth best third down defense in pro football. The sample size now starting to get large enough where these stats are statistically relevant. The Carolina Panthers have 5 of 5 on field goals and just a lot of good things. I mean, just a tremendous amount of domination of the game for 3.5 quarters, and then to lose the game, it makes it that much more difficult when your heart is kind of ripped out of your chest and stomped on by another team. So you figure that adversity breeds togetherness. Psychologists have long understood that. But how much adversity can this team take before they start, before they start looking and saying, hey, man, we're doing our job, but what's holding us back?
Yeah, that's true. And I guess what we gleaned from Coach's press conference yesterday is he feels like there were some positives and steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, Mick hit on a good amount of them. And, again, just to reiterate, think about this opponent we were facing and where we were facing them. And, of course, it was a tough week leading up to the game. You know, losing streak, no losing streak. It was a tough week around the building. And so they did show the resiliency in that game. But I agree with what Mick is saying as well. You know, how long can you keep it up? And I think we don't want to test that. You know, a win would change that perspective, and then you wouldn't have to worry about that for a little while.
I just reflecting back on the weekend, I really didn't see them coming out and really going toe-to-toe with the Bears. Just following up everything during the week and watching guys, at the hotel on the team plane and all that stuff, it was a very business-like trip. There wasn't a lot of joking around. Guys were pretty serious. So maybe that was a good thing, because now the focus was, well, we got to get on the field. We got to show something. We got to prove that, I guess, to a man, every guy wants to say, hey, I'm not the problem. And in their performance, yes, there were some negatives, but a lot of guys stepped up. I mean, the thing that I was most impressed by was the defensive line and the pressure that they got on Jay Cutler. Yeah, we could have used it down the stretch, but, boy, they started that game off in a good rhythm against what I consider a very big Chicago Bears offensive line. So moving forward, there are some things. Well, on this show, one of the things that keeps us going is your questions. And let's go look at our social networks and answer some of the questions.
Sure. Mike, we have Rhonda Michelle Leland asking on Facebook, what adjustments can the team make going into next game that'll improve play in the fourth quarter, especially in very tense, tight situations?
Well, I look at it defensively. I know you guys analyzed this and talked about it on the radio show. They have got to close out drives. And it was interesting as I watched that last drive that Chicago had to the field goal. I couldn't help but think about the Atlanta game and how similar it was, but our playing style was different.
Yeah.
The playing style on that fourth quarter drive was keep everything in front of you. Well, so Jay Cutler, an offensive coordinator from the Bears, worked everything underneath.
Right.
And attacked our alley defender, and if he went this way, they threw that way. If he went the other way, they threw it, and he couldn't be right.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of like, do you want to have death by paper cuts or take a chance? And it was just totally different from the Atlanta game, but ended up with pretty much the same result, and the team wasn't able to close the deal.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, you see that a lot in the NFL, too. I mean, prevent defense, I wouldn't say it was prevent defense, but it's kind of that thing, you're playing the odds that, you know, if you can keep them in front of you, they're not going to be able to get down far enough given the time left to come back. Another thing that kind of hurt the cause there was, talked to Sean McDermott a little bit yesterday, and he was pointing out how the Bears ended the first half in a similar situation. They got the ball near midfield, not much time left trying to get in field goal range, and they took deep drops. Cutler took deep drops and threw vertically, and so they went out in that defense with the thought that this is the way they're going to plan to attack us, and this is their trend in these situations. Obviously, that didn't happen. The Bears made the adjustment and took advantage of what was there, and the Panthers weren't able to adjust in time to prevent the field goal.
What was her name, Rhonda?
Rhonda.
Rhonda, there are a couple of things that come to my mind, Rhonda. There are adjustments and there are adjustments. Obviously, one adjustment is catch the ball. If you're open, if you're a receiver and you got a chance to catch it. That's obvious. But a couple of things stood out, fellas, in that game. Number one is if it's windy. I mean, we knew early on that when the Panthers were receiving from north to south a punt, that Captain Munnerlyn at 50 yards deep is going to have a long way to come up on the ball to catch the punt. So maybe give some thought to, and we try very hard not to coach the team from the press box, but she asked, and so we don't have any coaches here, so we're doing the best we can. Maybe put an up guy. Maybe take – Joe Adams wasn't active for that game, but maybe Armani Edwards, put him at 35 yards and then have Captain Munnerlyn back at 45 to 50 to make sure that ball does not hit the ground. Additionally, Cam Newton, and you love how he fights for extra yardage, but that thing has to be carried high and tight, because when that ball is out of there, Major Wright delivered a vicious lick on him, knocked the ball loose. But that's the second time that Cam Newton has been tracking, fighting for extra yardage, and the ball has come loose. So ball security is key there. And what else? A couple of other things.
The two tight ends
in the run game, Crafty. The tweaks to the run game, running more out of 22 personnel, two backs, two tights, one wide, and 12 personnel, one back, two tights, two wides, definitely had benefits in the Chicago game.
Well, along this point, and speaking to the fans, right now, everything is under the microscope. I mean, when you're in the middle of a losing streak, I mean, everything is talked about. And as you look forward and you talk about, okay, what was the adjustments that were made? And they're just certain rules of football that are undeniable. I mean, hey, if a team is trying to win the game, don't give up the big one. I mean, you hear all these things.
Yeah, they're cliches for a reason.
I think it's in that book, NFL Football for Dummies,
right.
Joe Theismann wrote. But and there's certain things that go that are obvious. But then again, there's a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know, okay, when a guy's been told there's certain things that are in the play call, okay, we're going to play X, Y, Z, or we're going to run this play. There's certain things that are in the call, but then there are certain things that players have to do on the fly. And the call and the adjustments and the counter adjustments and the further adjustments all have to fall in line. And on that series, one tip ball, we're one tip ball and a pick or a sack away from ending that game.
Yeah.
And the plays just weren't made. And that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line on everything that we've seen over the past few weeks. Let's listen to some more questions.
Yeah, first, a shout-out to Greg, who's a longtime Panthers fan, PSL owner from West Virginia. He's going to the Redskins game and the Kansas City game next week. Just wanted to give him some props because he always throws some great questions our way. We actually had a question come in from a St. John's professor, Bill Torgerson, asking what are some keys to pushing on in the middle of a losing streak? What do players and coaches need to focus on in these difficult times?
Well, is he a professor of psychology? Because I don't want to mess around his backyard. But anyway, what are the keys to pushing on? Pushing on, and really, as a player or a coach, right now, when you lose, the first thing you do is you focus ahead and start working on the next game, because you don't want this game to carry over and hurt you the next week. And I think that's what they're doing. And I talked about that business-like approach to this past game. I think guys are taking it, not that they weren't taking it serious, but they're taking it a lot more serious. They're looking inward, looking at more film, doing everything they need to do. The only way to get yourself out of a losing streak is that four-letter word, W-O-R-K. You work your way out of it. And I think that's what everybody on that 200 level and in that locker room is doing.
Joe Montana talked to the Charlotte Sports Club last week on a Friday, the Charlotte Touchdown Club, and he talked about this exact same thing. He said that the Niners 1 year were playing the Saints and were getting beat 34-17 starting of the fourth quarter, 34-10 maybe, something like that. And Coach Bill Walsh, a high IQ football coach, called the team together and said, hey, guys, let's not worry about the scoreboard. What we're going to do is we're going to go back to our base runs. We're going to go to our base throws, and we're just going to work on fundamentals. So let's just get out of here with whatever happens on the scoreboard, but let's get out of here rededicated to the fundamentals, the thing we've been working at ever since we got together in training camp. And guess what happened?
They won.
They started scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
Everything started working. Just by focusing on the process and not on the result was there. Yeah. So I think there's
advice.
A lesson there for the Panthers.
It'd be very advantageous for us, too. I mean, we might catch other teams off guard right now with what they're expecting to see compared to a fundamental kind of football.
I guarantee you Chicago didn't expect to get hit in the mouth and have us all over their offensive backfield.
Yeah.
You know, I know what is not seen on film, you know, they couldn't prepare for.
Yeah, the scoreboard watching thing you say, Mick, I wanted to point out with that. I mean, that may be something that's going on with the Panthers in effect. They haven't been in blowouts where they would have that type of meeting and say, let's just work on fundamentals. The reality is you kind of wish they would not look at the scoreboard in these close games because, it, you know, you can change the way you play in a close game. And I'm not saying they play not to lose, but it's hard to not think in those terms given what happened on
especially
the last drive.
Especially for a young team.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, now the task at hand is going to Washington, D.C., for the second straight road game. But I wonder, Mick, does it look like a good chance to end the losing streak?
Oh, I think so. I think it's a great chance. The chance looks a lot better than it did 3 weeks ago. The Skins have lost two of their last three of their last four. They've lost to good teams. They've lost to the Giants. They lost to the Steelers. But their defense is starting to – they've had some injuries, but they're starting to look a bit more vulnerable. Going to D.C., playing against RG3, they got the same kind of mojo, the hope that has been instilled by Robert Griffin III that we experienced last year here with Cam Newton. But definitely looks like a winnable game, especially the way the Pittsburgh Steelers wearing those – interesting-looking uniforms at Heinz Field.
That's
they
kind.
Look like pajamas or something from a prison break on the Shawshank Redemption movie.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh controlled the clock and rushed the ball and gained 100 more yards than the Skins did and won the game pretty handily. So maybe the Panthers can do the same.
Well, Brian, when the Panthers look across the line of scrimmage at RG3, they'll see some pretty similar attributes to what the Panthers do.
Yeah, much like we did here last year with Cam as a rookie. You know, they've definitely incorporated some of the things that RG3 succeeded on in college. You know, we'll see the zone read in the run game, for example. And Coach McDermott yesterday said, "Hey, that can't hurt." It's kind of like back to Spartanburg in some ways, you know, that we've run up against that, you know. And but RG3 has not played like a rookie so far, and so it's going to be interesting. You like to think you can take advantage of a rookie quarterback, and there is that potential, but he has not looked like a rookie.
Well, looking at the film of the Redskins, I already looked at some film of their games, and going back, I've looked at plenty of his stuff from Baylor. One of the things that RG3 does that's going to be hard to deal with is in his zone read package, his zone read play action. He takes the same stance, same position, with the running back sweeping by and reaching ride, and he's reading past the defensive line to the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. And if a defensive player gets out of position, boom, he passes right to him. He's very quick, very accurate. That will be one thing that will be tough to handle. Well, before we go, let's handle one more question here. Dan, what you got?
Yeah, absolutely. We had Chango Carrillo on Facebook.
Chango again.
Yeah, that was a good question. I was wondering, why do we rely on the one wide receiver pass we use on Smith that got intercepted in the game on Sunday? I see more teams run it efficiently when they have two or three receivers on that play.
Well, Steve Smith, isolated, is one of the best receivers in the league. So let's start there. And when you have a weapon like Steve Smith, because it's funny, a few years ago, the questions were always, why don't we look at Steve Moore? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we look at Steve Smith more? Yeah, but like anything, we talked about going down the middle of the road, not swerving too much to one side and running in the ditch. And, I mean, is that just another one of those things that comes up with fans over and over again?
I think so. I mean, and Brandon LaFell had a good day Sunday. I mean, I don't feel like it was all about Steve on Sunday. We had two tight ends, Ben Hartsock for the first time as a Panther, and we had Gary Barnage. They both made their first catches of the season. I thought we used, you know, the screen game a little more than we had. Got Jonathan a couple chances there. You know, and in that play specifically, I mean, what can you say about that? That's just, I mean, clearly a turning point in the game, and unfortunate that Steve slipped on that play. I mean,
if that happens in one of those passes that Chicago threw on the last series, then we're talking about Josh Norman picking it off and running it back.
Yeah, I don't know. Game too.
Yeah,
great.
I don't know what the field situation was in that part of the field, but it was just unfortunate. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Thanks for joining us today on behalf of the entire Panthers Pulse team. Brian Strickland, Mick Mixon joining us. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
And also Dan, keeping us in touch with what you, the fans, are thinking. We will see you right here, same place, same time next week.